The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, hanging out here on this Friday edition of The Zone. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels. We got Matt Derrick in with us. Chiefs Digest 41 is the Mike podcast. He comes to you presented by Cap One Lending. Freedom Loan at Cap One Lending, the exclusive loan, helps you pay your home off in less than half the time. Gives you access to your home's equity without having to refinance. Go to CapOneLending.com. Matt, what's up, brother?
You know, I was on my way in this morning listening to the show.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
And I got about halfway here, and I was thinking to myself, you know, hey, it's nice they're letting Sterling, you know, sit in on the show and everything. And then it occurred to me, you know what? Sterling's going to be in there when I'm there, too. I mean,
isn't that fun?
Yes. And
maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe you almost turned around and
I'm
went
trying
back
to
home.
Think if we – have we ever actually been in a studio together? I feel like it's happened once.
It's been
like
once
maybe
in
on a
studio
or something.
We have done remotes together. We did the one at the outdoor event at the OP
that
convention center.
That's when you talked about Legarius the Snake.
Yes.
Legarius the Snake. I talked about that. I talked about how I was going to buy a ghillie suit and then surprise you in here someday.
Did you know that you made the bracket of sound?
No. No, I made the cut, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Can we find that clip there? Dylan's already on it. Look at how smart Dylan is. He was like, yes, I'm already heading for it. Yes. That was an 8 seed in the Fat Bear Week bracket region, I should say, in the bracket of sound. It was maybe the latest entry. What happened was that piece of sound won the conference tournament and made it in.
That's not Legarius' fault. It's just the reality.
And at least for Legarius' snake,
right when I said it, I knew. Legarius' snake.
That's not what you said. For Legarius' snake, whoopsie.
Okay, hear me out. Sneed and then sake, right?
I get it.
And then your mind is, well, my mind's not the brightest.
I've
you combine those two.
I do that from time to time, yes.
For Legarius' snake.
it's the...
the instant recognition that, oh no.
I've screwed up.
This is going to get...
I've made a big mistake.
Yeah, I've made a huge snake. Mistake.
Nice job. Well done there. But yes, we are now... You guys have collaborated before, and now you get to be in studio with this collaboration. Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest 41, is the Mike podcast. Matt, we are less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, and it is ramp-up time. It is when it starts to get hot and heavy. People are looking at mock drafts even more. You're starting to really break down prospects and people that start to develop draft crushes. What's the life like for you leading up to these last couple of weeks? Are you studying prospects so that whenever they draft somebody, you know exactly who they're going to get? Are you sort of generally sort of looking at position groups? How do you get ready for these last 13 days before the first round is here?
Yeah, right now I'm just reading and trying to watch as much as I can, and I should be writing more because I'm behind in my mock drafts. I do have the one that I promised on like Wednesday. It'll be up today.
Okay, good. Good.
My first one.
Who do you have the Chiefs trading up to get?
This first one, see, what I do is I like to do scenarios for each of my mock drafts to just kind of game plan through things and everything. And so the first one always is just straight up. See who's going to be available at that kind of spot. You know, and you know, because if you do enough of them eventually, I mean, you're always going to have randomness. You're always going to have a team that, hey, does something that you don't expect them to do. So, I mean, these mock drafts, and I always use a simulator. I mean, because they're such great tools, and I use different ones and everything like that. But that, to me, I mean, and everybody's having a great time with those now, but even for a journalist doing a mock draft, if you're not using a simulator, I mean, to me, it's you're just, you know, I was going to say a very, very derogatory term that I shouldn't say on the air.
You're a dummy.
we'll go with that. It's better than what I was going to choose.
Do you think the Raiders used to draft just using a simulator? Do you think that's how they developed their draft board and draft strategy was just a simulator?
They tried to use the Force, and they didn't have any midichlorians.
I'm going to take your word for that.
I didn't know what he said. Was that a Star Wars?
Star Wars. It's a
That was a great Star Wars. Star Wars fans out there, man, that was gold.
It's a Star Trek reference, Sterling.
How dare you, Jason.
Sorry. Those are fighting words. sucks.
I mean, like in this one, for instance, there was a run on receivers. So the best receiver on the board, I mean, that I would say would be consensus at 32, was Xavier Leggett.
And
I'm not taking Xavier Leggett at 32.
You went a different Xavier. That's a real run on wide receivers than in this one.
If Leggett's your best receiver that's left at 32, you're not taking a receiver if you're Brett Veach.
No, I'll find somebody else.
You're either moving up or you're doing what I'm going to do, which is take a tackle. But you're going to have to go to Chiefs Digest later and see who I took.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
Not giving away for free on the
tease,
radio.
Baby.
I'm not giving away for free.
give away stuff for free all the time for 4 hours.
No, I was going to ask him if it was Kingsley, but he won't give it away. So I'm hoping that it's Kingsley, but I don't know. Matt, is 32 too high for Kingsley, or is that a good spot?
In my book, it's too high for Kingsley.
Okay.
So he does not take Kingsley. Right. In fact, he hates Kingsley.
If I sing the Chili Peppers Give It Away Now, will you give it away on air, or is that just going to make me look like an idiot for no reward?
We don't have to know who he's going to take, but I do want to get into some offensive tackle prospects that may be there.
I can tell you who likes. I can tell you it's not who I want to take.
Right, yeah.
Because Joe Alt was not available at 32.
Who would you like to take? Joe Alt. Yes, I am in complete agreement with you. Man, Xavier Leggett was the best
receiver left.
Lad McConkey was
gone,
correct?
So were there 15 receivers taken in the... No, I don't know.
Yeah, if Lad McConkey was there, we would be having a different conversation.
Well, and I think that's sort of... That's the benefit, and it's what we get into when we talk about a number of times with Brett Veach and going into a draft and not having a glaring hole sitting there that you feel like you are forced to take somebody.
Right.
That you've got to address a specific positional need because, damn it, somebody has to play this spot. And that's the importance of Hollywood Brown, of just bringing in Hollywood Brown. And I know he's been injured. Obviously, there's a question about Rashee Rice and what his suspension will look like. But in this instant, when you're coming up with this mock draft, and this scenario has all of those wide receivers taken, you're not sitting there going, okay, Rashee Rice might be out for 4 to 6 games, and we haven't signed anybody, and we can't go into the season with Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney and Justin Watson as our top three. We gotta do it. We gotta take the best available guy that we think is there at wide receiver, not the best available guy that's there on our board, but the best available wide receiver. Like you're going through a fantasy draft, right? It's like, okay, well, now I need a wide receiver, so let me just sort them by wide receiver. I know this is like the 15th guy down, but I need a wide receiver now because then all those guys are going to be gone. I got to take this guy, even though it's like, boy, this running back is there, but I've already got two running backs, so I can't do that. Like, that's a terrible strategy in an actual NFL draft when, you know, jobs are on the line and you're not just, you know, playing lucky fantasy football.
Well, again, I mean, it's not necessarily the strategy as much as it's what you did before that put you into that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Brett Veach's first two drafts were great examples of that. And I don't blame him because he kind of inherited a situation and one was a circumstance. I mean, but 2018, that team, the way it was constructed, I mean, it was just built that way. I mean, Brett Veach had to get a defensive lineman. I mean, he needed somebody. I mean, he absolutely, in the second round, because he didn't have a first-round pick, absolutely had to get a defensive lineman.
Who'd he get?
He got Breland Speaks.
Damn it.
And
he's never on the ground, though.
But, you know, if you put yourself into a position that you have to take a position and you have to take a guy at one particular spot, but you're picking the second round and nobody that you want is there, and you're now forced to, like, trade up for a guy that you don't really want or the value is not there, I mean, that's a terrible spot. And once again, I mean, even like, and then the next year in 2019, taking Mecole Hardman, you know, partly because of the Tyreek Hill situation at the time was certainly factoring into that. Because now it wasn't only that maybe you're taking a receiver in the second round, but now all of a sudden you've got to take a particular type of receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because if Tyreek Hill doesn't have that cloud looming over him and it's not in the back of your mind, do you take a different receiver? Do you go after DK Metcalf instead of Mecole Hardman? Or do you take a corner instead of Mecole Hardman? I mean, and maybe Mecole Hardman was still the best pick. I mean, you could make the argument. He had some good years in Kansas City. But, you know,
if people thought DK Metcalf was going to be that good, he wouldn't have been there in the second round that late. So,
but the consensus, and I
Veach
think
Veach wasn't the only guy that passed on DK.
I think if you got some sodium pentothal or something like this, I think that I think Brett Veach would at least at some point admit that, yes, I mean, you take Mecole Hardman there only because of the Tyreek Hill situation. I mean, if that had not happened, I think that the Chiefs that draft completely unfolds differently.
So what percentage do they change their strategy with the unknown of Rashee Rice?
I think it's zero. I mean, I think that's a lesson learned kind of aspect.
Interesting.
Is that, you know, you don't let a situation like that affect the next 4 years, because that's what it does. I mean, especially, and for a first-round draft, potentially the next 5 years. I mean, you make this pick, and out of desperation or because of a snafu of some sort, I mean, you're putting yourself behind the eight ball. You can't allow yourself to do that. So to me, and I think you've, I mean, in this particular instance, I think if you're the Chiefs, you had that advantage. Because if, I mean, they proved it last year. You don't have to have a bunch of great receivers to win a Super Bowl with this guy as your quarterback. So, I mean, if they think that something's going to happen to Rashee Rice, tell you what, go through do your draft the way you were, and then after the draft, and especially after the compensation pick signing deadline in May, when you don't have to worry about losing any comp picks, go sign yourself Tyler Boyd. You know, you can solve this problem for 1 year another way without making a 5-year mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about, you know, yesterday we were talking about, you know, Rashee Rice and the potential suspension and how much that would change. I think it's above zero. I don't know how much, like, it may change their draft, or at least some of the planning and the thought process around different prospects and types of receivers and whatever flavor you enjoy with the skill sets of different guys. But you don't make a 4 or 5 year decision based on what is potentially a 4-game suspension. And the Chiefs didn't know about, you know, Tyreek Hill and what would end up happening with that. But I do think there's an element of there to me, there has to be some sort of an added importance in wide receiver for a couple of reasons. One, whether it's the suspension or not. Okay. We can even set the suspension aside, even if he's not suspended. Okay. We know Hollywood has had some injury issues. But for me, I would question moving forward. We already know Rashee Rice has made this dumb decision, okay? And I'm not saying it's going to be something that he continues to do. But at least it's now on your radar, or maybe not at least, but you know it's now on your radar that he's made a pretty dumb decision when he's out on his own and back in Dallas and was careless with other people's lives. That's one strike. You start to go down the road with, oh, he just did this stupid thing, and he didn't mean any harm in it, but he did this stupid thing. Like, he's not Chiefsaholic Robin Banks, right? You know, doing things.
Allegedly.
Oh, I think it's more than allegedly at this point. He's going to jail. It's not that. That's where I would wonder how much in their mind they go, we have Rashee Rice, and we know what he can do on the field. But there's a little bit of trust factor that's now gone with how available he'll be for the next 3 years and maybe longer if you do sign him to a long-term deal or something like that.
And this may just be me softening in my older years and everything. Maybe I got, you know, too much of a big heart or something like this.
You do have a big heart.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, if Rashee Rice was my kid, or I was his coach, I don't care if it's 2024 or not. I mean, my grandma would have been taken. She used to buy us those paddle balls. You know, with the, you know, little string on it, you know, with the rubber band on it, that you could just, you know,
it was
paddle
like a ping pong paddle with the rubber ball attached to it on a string.
When we were all kids, my grandma, whenever we went to the dime store, went to Ben Franklin, we're getting one of those. They were like 10 cents, so they cost like nothing. So, you know, every time we go into one of those, you know, dime store, but the first time we acted out, that rubber ball was getting ripped off the paddle. And the paddle was going our behind.
That's why you get pool noodles. So that's why you get the pool noodles.
Matt, why'd you buy another one of those?
So
they're so much fun.
Hey, I'd be going, you know, yeah, Rashee would be running some gassers, and he'd be sitting in the porta potty for a few hours. I mean, he'd be getting all sorts of hazing. But, you know, you kind of, to a degree, and don't get me wrong, I mean, he should absolutely take all the responsibility, which he has been doing. He should take all the punishment that he's going to get, which I think he will do. But you know what? Point to a guy in that locker room hasn't done the exact same thing. They're all a bunch of, you know, it's a testosterone-fueled 21-year-old bunch of jerks sometimes. I mean, they can't handle it. I mean, just, you know, and I think I was probably the most responsible teenager, college student of all time. Because I was a total dork. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do when I was, like, 9 years old. So I figured these things out and everything like that. So I didn't curse until I was like 23.
No bleep?
No bleep. Because I was like, I talked to someone when I was a kid, and then I had a college teacher said the exact same thing. As a broadcaster, you should never curse off air, because eventually you're going to curse on air.
They bleep and said that?
They bleep and said that. So, I did with that. And then I was like, hey, you know what? You're a broadcaster. You're a public figure. You know, people see you and everything. You know, you're a reflection of who you work for and the people you work with. So, you know, you shouldn't do anything too stupid to look bad or anything. So, you know, I didn't go out and do anything crazy or drink and, you know, go nuts and everything. So I guess I was a very boring person. So maybe that's why I have no friends. But
I'm your friend, man. I'm your friend.
I'm your Huckleberry.
You get 53 guys in a locker room. I'm going to bet 50 of them have probably been going 160 down a highway at some point in whatever car they have.
Yeah.
Whether it's a Corvette, a Lambo, a Toyota Camry, an F-150.
If I were the coach, I would make sure they had to get a car that couldn't go that fast.
Really? I'd put a restrictor plate?
Well, give them like a 1994 Toyota RAV4. Like, that bad boy is not getting that fast. You're not getting a speeding ticket.
Yeah, because grown men with college savings and mortgages and stuff would really love that.
The Yankees say you can't grow a beard. Come on. I'm just trying to have my own style here.
You could have put a restrictor plate on every single car.
Golf carts only.
Can't go above 60.
All I remember about the specs, I don't remember anything else. I just remember this was a big yellow truck. But my friend Mike, it was a 444 barrel, if anybody knows what that means.
No idea.
But that truck could go from like 0 to 120 in like 5 seconds. And you could literally see the gas gauge moving downwards when he put the accelerator on the floor.
He burned an entire tank of gas.
That's by 20 bucks right
going
there.
Going to zero. Well, back then it was probably 10. You know,
back then, my age, it was probably like, you know, gas was like 75 cents. So.
How old are you, Matt? You've been talking like you're 83, and I don't believe this.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, when I was like 8 years old, there was this gas station that burned down near our house and everything. And I didn't like tear it down and rebuild it and everything like that for 10 years. And
they didn't have the materials. They didn't know how to build it.
The sign was still up showing how much the gas was. And gas was like 49 cents. So,
dude, I remember.
You just always remembered what gas was in 1979 or whatever.
In high school, I just remember it being like, you know, a dollar per gas. So it'd be like 14 bucks. Oh, man. And at that time, like, you're in high school, like, how do I get $14?
Where am
I going to come up with 14 bucks?
You're going to go out on Friday night and I need to get some gas. Anybody got some change? I need three bucks. If I got $3 of gas, I can go out and cruise on Friday night.
I need 5 gallons of gas. Anybody got $3?
You know how jealous I am?
No, you shouldn't be. We're all paying for the same thing now. So we're all paying the same price now.
We didn't have phones. You know, we're going to make plans. Our friend had to be home so that when we called them on the landline, we could actually make plans. And
I remember landlines. I'm not that young.
No, you don't remember landlines where that's the only way you can get a hold of somebody and the only way you could meet up with somebody was a landline. And if you went to meet up with them and you were both not home, you just had to trust that they would be there.
And if you and three of your friends decided to go to a movie and you had not made plans like, you know, 2 days in advance and you just decided on the spur of the moment, that was going to require at least a half hour and 18 phone calls.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's back in the and then it was really cool when you got the pager. Because then it's like, okay.
Oh. Never had a pager. But my mom had a pager for work, though, so I could at least page her and everything.
You never had a pager? Wow. How about that, huh?
But we had codes.
My mom used to always, you're not getting a pager, okay? Only drug dealers have pagers. Like, Mom, this isn't a movie. By the way, if you see somebody with their lights off on the highway, don't flash them. It's a gang initiation.
Why do we give our moms same voice? We always act like our mom smokes 17 packs a day.
And she's apparently from Jersey. I'm not sure. New York.
You're not going to go out and get a pager, Jason. You're not a drug dealer, are you? Are you a drug dealer?
No, I'm not random, Mom.
I've really derailed the Rasheed Rice conversation, though, and I apologize.
Well, I think we all agree that
I'm not a drug dealer.
That Jason's not a drug dealer.
Cool.
I'm not agreeing on that.
Oh, okay.
It'd be a great cover. I mean, that would be no one would believe that Jason was a drug dealer.
That's the most likely drug
dealer.
That's a
great point.
The one you least suspect.
You know what a drug dealer would say? I'm not a drug dealer.
Yeah, it's exactly what a drug dealer
would say. With you, I believe it.
Unless are you looking? Because, you know, I'm not saying I'm holding, but I'm not saying.
You'd sell spinach. We all agree that you're not going to try.
But I'm a dork that I would actually sell the spinach.
They get arrested for a dime bag of oregano.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not going to give up 4 or 5 years for 4 or 6 games. We're all in agreement there. And you mentioned it briefly as far as the free agents. Whether it's before or post-draft, there might be someone in the cards here. You go through the names. I'm sorry. I am so totally out on Tyler Boyd. With Ja'Marr Chase injured through periods last year, with T. Higgins injured, it was never Tyler Boyd that stepped up. It was the Andre I dude. I don't want to butcher his last name, so I apologize. I think he was from Princeton, if I'm not mistaken. And also, it was the long-haired guy, number 16, Trent Irwin.
Yeah.
Right? It was never Tyler Boyd. That does not give me confidence. You go through guys like Hunter Renfrow, a slot-only guy who was derailed by the previous regime in Las Vegas. Who do you blame, Renfrow? Do you blame Josh McDaniels? Obviously, I think Josh is probably the dude you blame, since everyone blames that guy.
Always blame Josh.
But the answer might be yes to that. You blame Renfrow? Do you blame Josh McDaniels? Yes.
But Hunter is a slot-only guy. You have Allen Robinson, who has not been effective in years. Mm-hmm. You have OBJ, who has... Well, you're shaking your head no, very hard. I heard it through the airwaves. Yeah. Michael Gallup, Michael Thomas. And then you get down to, well, you know MVS. You know Mecole Hardman.
Exactly.
There's no good names on the free agent market.
I think they'll... if you were going to make a point, I apologize.
I was going to keep rambling, I thought.
No, I was going to go... I was going to jump... use that as a jumping point for Matt in the... Do they sign a veteran after the draft? I mean, obviously, a lot of it will depend on, but you're talking about all those different veterans, you know, Sterling, and it's not exactly like there's one glaring player. Mike Evans is sitting right out there, right?
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, like a year ago, is right there. You got to go and sign DeAndre Hopkins. Hollywood Brown is right there. You got to go and get Hollywood Brown. I mean, depending on how the draft goes, let's even say they draft somebody in the first or second round, pick 32 or 64 as a wide receiver. Do they still go and bring in another veteran? Or are they moving forward with Hollywood, Rashee Rice, draft pick, Watson, Sky, Kadarius, et cetera?
Right. I mean, and that's kind of comes back to my next point, which is that if, you know, you upend your draft based on Rashee Rice not being there. Well, remember, Rashee Rice last year was a unicorn. I mean, you know, you're putting him in. He was in a category with Jerry Macklin and Deshaun Jackson. I mean. Yeah. You know, it's like, are you saying that you're going to be able to do that twice in a row? Are you going to be able to get one of those guys 2 years in a row, especially in a year where, frankly, there might be 7 receivers going in the first round? I mean, you've got to have that right guy. And whether the Chiefs have done that, whether they feel like that they've got that guy, that is because Rashee Rice came out of the box pretty sophisticated. And now, some of his numbers last year, I would probably say, were of necessity. But then again, I mean, look how good, you know, Tyreek Hill was. Tyreek Hill was a 500-yard receiver as a rookie. I mean, that's just how difficult it is in the Andy Reid system to pick things up.
But also, how effective was Rashee Rice's first 4-6-odd games? He was fine, right? We all wanted to see him more. But how many snaps was he really getting? And again, we are talking about the sophisticated wide receiver coming out of college. That's why even if the Chiefs do draft, I think going to your point here, a wide receiver at 32, I still think you almost need a veteran with the unknowns of Rashee. Yes. Because even if the guy is, I keep going to Ladd McConkey because I just do believe that he has the floor. I keep comparing him to the George Karloftis, but on the offensive side of the ball, a guy who can come in week one, game one, and make an impact. But he's still not going to be getting 70% of the snaps, which you might need those first few weeks.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, if you draft a receiver, one, the first receiver that you draft, and I don't think that necessarily, I mean, if you're drafting receivers this year in this draft, I don't think that Rashee Rice's absence affects you in that sense. Because, one, if you're taking a receiver at 32, I think you are already taking a receiver at 32. If that's the best player available,
correct,
that's who you're going to take. If that's not who's there, you're going to probably take somebody else. I mean, if there's no receiver, let's put it, and this is the way that it was presented to me in my little mock draft here, had a player that was a consensus probably top 20, top 25 player that was left, and I've got a guy who is a consensus second round receiver. Well, value wise, I'm absolutely crazy taking a second round receiver when there is a surefired first round tackle that I need also.
Oh yeah, that'd
right
be
there. I mean, scenario. I'm just giving away money, and I'm giving away, you know, capital. I'm giving away resources here by taking an inferior receiver versus a much better tackle. So that's an easy choice. But, you know, so if you're taking a receiver in the first round, I mean, I think you're always taking the receiver because that was the best player available. Question to me is then, do you circle back and get a second receiver? And that's where I think that the Rashee Rice factor ends. And that's more going to be more for depth because you're not, even if you sign a free agent wide receiver, I don't know that you're signing anybody that's going to play ahead of, say, Justin Watson. You know, anybody that's going to, you know, maybe could beat out Sky Moore, maybe beat out Kadarius Toney. But there's no guarantee.
I hope.
Yeah. There's no guarantee.
I do want to talk about some prospects. So on the other side of the break, we'll get into some of the prospects, whether that be Ladd McConkey or Xavier Worthy. I like Troy Franklin. He's another guy that has, you know, Chiefs fans have talked about, whether that be at 32 or trading back in the second round, or at 64 if he's there, or trading up from 64. Like, that's sort of the area some of those wide receivers will go. We'll talk about that and maybe a couple of tackle prospects as well. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We're hanging out with Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, and 41 is the Mike podcast. He's presented by Cap One Lending. More Zone next. We need the Dan Band on this one. Come on, man.
Did you know that Matt Derrick is one of the biggest power ballad guys
in Kansas City? I've learned that about Matt.
Yeah. And this, of course, written by Jim Steinem, who was classic power ballad guy.
Take your word for it.
You know, Meatloaf wrote most of Meatloaf's big hits with him.
How about that? Cool. I'm also going to take your word for that, too.
You know Meatloaf.
No, he's talking about who wrote the song. I know who Meatloaf is. I don't know who writes songs. I'm out on that. I mean, now you are talking about next level stuff. Now you're getting into the fifth linebacker on the Chiefs. Casually watches football. The football's on. That's fine. Let's talk about the fifth linebacker on the Chiefs. Whoa, that's a little too inside baseball there. Hey, who wrote that song? I don't care. I liked it. It was cool.
You need to know it's all about the depth. Like Nick Allegretti, big part, right? Okay. Offensive line. You had to have Allegretti. Okay. That's the Allegretti.
John Steinman is the Allegretti? If I got his name right.
I would say even as a songwriter, I mean, I'd almost say he's a Creed Humphrey. But yeah.
Ooh, wow. So he wrote songs for Creed?
No.
With Hams, what hope?
Don't even associate those two.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some wide receivers here. Let's talk Ladd McConkey. That is
the crush du jour.
Boy, that
Chiefs
is the
fans.
The apple of a lot of Chiefs' eyes right there. That is the, you're dreaming of visions of sugar plums dancing in your head, and that's Ladd McConkey dancing around on the football field. What do you think of Ladd McConkey, if he's there at number 32? I don't know if he was there in your mock draft or not.
I
was going to say, if Xavier Leggett was the best receiver available, Ladd McConkey definitely not gone.
Correct.
Actually, you mentioned Ladd was gone earlier. But what do you think of Ladd McConkey and how he would fit with the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, available at 32, I mean, I think he's absolutely at the top of the Chiefs list, especially from a wide receiver standpoint. Then to me is just who is available at tackle as well. You know, so, I mean, I think those are the two positions that the Chiefs are most likely to target. There's a few others that, you know, depending on the caliber of the player that's there. I mean, there's always a scenario where, you know, both those positions are depleted. Maybe all the first-round tackles that you would take are gone. McConkey's gone, you know, and you are left with the Xavier Leggetts of the world. And
the first 31 picks were all tackles and receivers. We've never seen this before, and the Chiefs are like, what the bleep? I guess we'll take
I am going to call out Pro Football Focus, just because I like to call out Pro Football Focus.
That's
because,
fine.
You know, they really annoy me sometimes, despite the fact that I know they try hard. And their draft simulator is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Their draft simulator critique of my draft.
Oh,
by the way,
that you don't like that.
Their critique of my draft was they didn't like my second round pick.
Who was second round? We'll find out.
Way. I will say this though, that player was an edge rusher from either Kansas or Missouri. So it's one of two players.
And Darius Robinson?
At 64?
I didn't say that. I said he's either from Missouri or from Kansas.
How about that?
Austin Booker?
I didn't say that either.
Doesn't mean he played at Missouri or Kansas. It just means he's from Missouri.
I didn't say that either.
Technicality.
So, Shane
Ray. What are you saying, Matt?
Well, you're going to have to read it when it comes out this afternoon. So,
was it Shane Ray?
But it's not Shane Ray.
Did you take
Alden
Smith?
I can tell you it was not Shane Ray. You can sign Shane Ray as a free agent.
What? He's available.
He's available.
Go get him.
But Pro Football Focus was upset that I took an edge rusher in the second round instead of the best available player, Michael Penix. So criticize the Chiefs for not taking a quarterback in the second round.
Yeah, I'm okay with whatever the grades are. That's not really that's not the reason I use that exercise. Like, I use that exercise for the different scenarios of who's there,
right?
Who's available?
That's exactly. And
I love
me,
to click the randomness, you know, because then it's like, oh, you know, you never really know at that point. Because then it's like, okay, well, now you're presented with this scenario. Where do I go if there's extra randomness for this first round? Caleb Williams is available. That's really random. That's not going to happen, but whatever.
Exactly. And to get an idea about, you know, if you need to trade up, you know, where do you need to generally get in order to get where you want to go? Now, you know, us as fans and journalists and everything like that, that's, you know, you kind of rely on these simulators to help us with that. You know, behind the scenes, what Brett Veach has been doing for the last, you know, 2 months has been talking to his colleagues and, you know, and people who work for him, talking to their colleagues. And it's like, you know, hey, you know, what are you looking for? What are you looking at?
Studying everybody else's roster.
Studying everybody else.
Yeah.
Because they, I mean, they're trying to project who everybody else is going to take too.
How realistic is a trade up? Because if you do want a wide receiver, you have to get above the Bills now. That's obviously the team I think you have to get in front of. But it obviously takes two to tango. Last year, we heard all the...
I don't even care if they want the wide receiver or not. I just want them to trade ahead of the Bills and take the guy that the Bills wanted.
It's probably a good idea.
Just so we can get another video of Brandon Bean just, and having... Yeah.
Just for so S's and G's.
Just so that you as a Chiefs can get the receiver you want, and the Bills will end up with a receiver who gets cut after two seasons.
Exactly. Just for S's and G's, just to continue, but go ahead.
But the realistic thought of trading up or even trading back, because I do think trading back makes the most sense, but let's be real, again, two to tango, and I think a lot of teams want to trade back. And the Chiefs couldn't do it last year with Will Levis, a quarterback there at 32, a team potentially wanting to pick up the fifth-year option on a QB. I think the thought process of everyone wanting to trade back is great, but the realistic outcome of that seems fairly far-fetched. Where do you land on the Chiefs at 32, up, back, or the same?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that it used to be, and it felt like it was such a thing, that teams would want to move back into the end of the first round for a quarterback to get that fifth-year option. And to a degree, I mean, it just seems like they've abandoned that. I mean, there just hasn't been that kind of movement. And last year was a great example. I mean, somebody could have moved into the end of the first round to get Will Levis and didn't feel the need to. So, you know, and the Chiefs tried to do that with when they picked Clyde, you know, the last pick.
Well,
in 2020.
With the playtime incentives, the fifth-year option isn't the same value
as
it
really
used
not.
To be.
Exactly. I mean, you can end up with a situation where the fifth-year option is the same as the franchise tag.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's really not, you know, that really, you know, big motivation anymore. But, yeah, I mean, if you're, I mean, the likelihood of the Chiefs being able to move up, I mean, the luxurious need trade enabled that. I mean, I feel like the idea of the Chiefs taking that third-round pick from Tennessee and holding on to it next April is like 3%. I mean, that pick is just out there dangling for moving up somewhere, whether it's the first round, somewhere else. I mean, I just don't think the Chiefs are going to hold on to that pick. I mean, and that it gives them the currency to move up. I mean, that's your first offer, 32 and a 2025 third for 24, you know. I think there's a real chance in that window where right before Buffalo, where you've got a bunch of NFC teams that will be a little bit more, I think, open. And I think anybody in the top, you know, ahead of Buffalo in the 20s, I think almost anybody there would be willing to trade with the Chiefs unless either that team wants a tackle or a receiver. I mean, if that team is dead set on taking a receiver, there's no way they're trading with the Chiefs because then they're pretty sure that there's too much of a chance that their guy's not going to be there at 32. So that, I think, is tough. But I think in my mock draft that I did, I think there was only one receiver that went in that group, you know, because then Buffalo took one, and then I think there was – I think McConkey, I think, went at 31, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's
so,
too bad. Brutal.
So, yeah, right, you know. So that, once again, and at 49ers at 31, if they, I think there was – I don't think there was a trade, so let's say it was them. If that's the case, you know, they know the Chiefs might be taking that receiver, so they wouldn't trade with you either, but – yeah, that's that. I think is a challenge, but you know, would 32 and a third get you 25? Yeah, it might. So, now if you wanted to go bold, like you know Nick Jacobs and I want to, you start with 32. You start with next year's one. Ooh. You start with that third,
and you go get alt.
And you go get alt.
That's pretty steep,
Matt.
Would you rather them go back, Matt? Like, would you rather them trade back and get more cracks in the second round or just one good crack at the first round?
I mean, if the that's the tricky thing, because I would say you're really at 32 at the borderline about a receiver that you really, really like being there. I mean, I think it's like 50-50. Because, once again, you could have a draft like I'm talking about unfold where all the top receivers are gone, and now, you know, a guy that, I mean, at best is a second-round pick. I mean, there's some teams that, or some, yeah, some analysts that think that Xavier Leggett's a third-rounder. So you're certainly, you're not, I don't think you're even trading 32 to, like, 37 and still taking a guy by like
yeah.
that. So, yeah, I mean, I say to a degree, yeah, I mean, if there's not a receiver that you want, then trading back into the early part of the second round, getting some more picks would might be preferable, because honestly, you know, once you're in that range, you know, 32, I mean, you're no longer getting a first round value. I mean, if you're Brett Veach, you've got 15 to 20 guys that yeah. have first round grades. So chances are they're all going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be taking a guy at 32 you've got a second round grade on anyway. You do have a lot of needs. I mean, so if you did trade back six spots and picked up some more picks, you still might get a tackle you like. You might get a second round receiver there, but at least you're not getting value for that, and you've picked up some picks. So maybe you're getting the same receiver you could have got at 32, but you got some picks along with it. There's a bunch of defensive linemen. I mean, the Chiefs need some depth at defensive line for the future, so you know that's a position of need. Honestly, I mean, when you look at 2025's needs, offensive interior is a huge
yeah.
need. So you know, you're trading back in the second round, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe you're picking up one of the better guards or centers.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's why I've gone with, if I'm trading up, I'm trading up for a tackle. I'm not trading up for a wide receiver. I think there are a number of good wide receivers, and I think it's a numbers game. And the numbers, it's pretty simplistic from a numbers game. Rashee Rice plays wide receiver. Hollywood Brown plays wide receiver. And the wide receiver you draft plays wide receiver. So there's three guys that can be on the field. There's only one tackle on the field. There's only one left tackle.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, you're going to take a guy that could be a number one receiver. Yeah, well, he's going to be out there with other receivers. You don't know who's going to be your tackle right now. So if the Chiefs trade up, I want him to trade up for there, because there's a tackle with the first round grade that shouldn't be there, like a Trent McDuffie. And you go and get that guy. That's what I want. I don't want them to trade up and get a wide receiver who could be awesome, right? But you're using extra resources for, as you talked about, now you got interior offensive line issues, you know. You've got other guys that are all on one-year deals on the defensive line. You've got to worry about that, obviously. You know, wide receiver spot, tackle spot. Like, if you're trading up for a wide receiver, you still need a tackle. You still need to address interior offensive line. You got to address other parts of the team as well. You got to address running back probably in some way, shape, or form. You lost Legarius Need. They may look to replenish a couple of cornerbacks. They like throwing some numbers at that, too. Like, there are some areas where you need to address. If you're trading up for a wide receiver, I don't know. I don't think it's worth the resources to do that if it's not Harrison Neighbors or Odunze.
I would agree with that. And oh gosh, in this mock draft, Odunze went like top five.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you're not going to get those guys.
No.
You know, so it's like, so if your guy's dream scenario of going all in on a player, I'm with you. It's alt.
Yeah.
As
I
opposed
mean,
to like,
thing. I mean, exactly. If I'm moving up into the top 15, it's for a
yeah,
tackle.
It's for a tackle. You're moving up to get what? Brian Thomas?
I'm not moving up that high at all. I think that's way
yeah,
too
I'm
much risk.
I'm not either.
The one time I want a bad foundation, because I want more cracks. I want more opportunity. I want to trade back. I don't want to give up all that draft capital. And then what happens? Something even out of your control, injury related. That's way too risky for my taste.
No, I'm with you. I don't want them to move up. If they're sitting there at 32 and they've got a number of guys and they have an opportunity to trade back, I'd rather them trade back and do that. Because if those top tackles are all gone, you know, and you're sitting there with a cluster, right, a tier of tackles, three or four of them that are there that you have, you know, second-round grades on, and you feel like you can be good with any of them, and you've got a few wide receivers that you feel like you're good with any of them, but I can pick up another third-rounder, then let's do that. Because then I might be able to take somebody at like 35 or 36, and I'm sitting there at 64. Well, now I can package another pick and move up from 64 and get somebody else. So now I've got a couple of third-rounders, a lesser first-rounder, but a better second-rounder, and I'm getting more quality depth that's there with a wide receiver group that's deeper, with a tackle group that seems really top-heavy, and then a bunch of guys that could play left tackle but are more right tackle and swing guys, and some players you might end up moving down on the inside. Like, I think there are a number of guys that can play left tackle. I just don't know any of them are going to be there at 32. Unless it's somebody like, you know, we've talked about Kingsley Suamataia, that, you know, is a guy that has all of the traits, but is so raw, he'll need a little bit of time to develop, you know. And are the Chiefs willing to do that? Well, they get Donovan Smith and Wanya Morris, and you get a first-round draft pick that gives you time to develop. Maybe that's the route you go.
And I think I'm still working on pronouncing his last name when it's not in front of me. Kieran Abagaji from Yale.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's the guy that, you know, you're talking about a sleeper, the second or third. That's the guy that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Might be somebody that you're taking.
Yep, he's got.
I'd take him over. He's got some of the Kingsley in the daily, twice on Sunday.
And here's the thing: he's got the first or second longest arms of the tackles in the draft.
Great size, great footwork.
Yeah, I mean, there's also Patrick Paul from Houston as well. Third round.
Yep, another guy that's in that second and third round. Another guy with Amarius Mims, Patrick Paul, and Amagaji have the longest arms of the tackles graded out at the draft. And we know the Chiefs love their long arms. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next. All right, wrapping up this hour with Matt Derrick. All right, Matt.
You know who wrote this?
John Simon.
Dave Loggins.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What about
related
Kenny?
To Kenny.
I think they're cousins.
They're cousins?
I believe they're cousins.
How about that?
Danger Zone.
Please come to Boston. Dave Loggins wrote the theme to the Masters.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right, so a little bit of time, like 30 seconds. Your mock draft is dropping when?
Let's say 3 o'clock.
Okay, man. Well, that's up to you.
I say that like you're my editor.
I didn't think this was up for discussion. Like, let's say noon. Let's have a nooner here.
Well, I can't get a nooner done in 3 minutes.
Useful. Useful thought.
Go ahead and hit that F8 over there.
Yeah, I said that.
Appreciate it. Bracket of sound.
I think that was a silent brag or a humble brag.
I don't think it was.